This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things Jesus was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Everything was in order. Perfectly in order, going according to plan. And then Jesus shows up. The synagogue ruler, this religious leader of the community, a respected person, someone who has worked in this community and been recognized as a spiritual leader, someone whose job it is to make sure that this practice of getting together in the synagogue goes forward, continues to happen. He's gotten everything set. He knows how this is supposed to go. There will be some gathering, maybe some singing of songs, perhaps some reading of the Torah, some speaking on those messages, then people will go home and rest. It's such a joyous, orderly occasion, just like everything good should be, all in order. Except Jesus shows up. Jesus now has been doing things out of order. Jesus shows up and maybe the synagogue leader is starting to get a little nervous. Jesus has already shown up and been teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath, saying wild things like, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor and release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind." And then after reading that holy scripture, sitting down and saying things like, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That caused some people to wonder. It wasn't the way that this was ordered to go. He's been doing things improperly. Jesus has a history of healing people on the Sabbath. It's rude. There's 6 days to do this work, to be out of order. On this day, you're supposed to do things God's way. If only Jesus could figure that out. If only this religious leader could figure it out. When Jesus stands up to speak, he has not yet the eyes of faith to see who it is that's speaking. When this woman comes up to Jesus, a woman who has been crippled and doubled over in pain and hurt for 18 years, when she comes to Jesus, because even though she is bent over and can only see the ground, she knows who Jesus is and she can see Jesus for who he is. See Jesus as one sent from God. See Jesus as one who can release her. And so she comes to him. This is a woman who this community knows, has known for 18 long years. And they know what's supposed to happen with her, or at least what the order of things would be. It's been 18 years, they know what to expect. More of the same. More pain, more doubled over, more looking at the ground. That's just the plan. It's just the way things are. And yet this woman saw in Jesus not the way things are, but the way things might be. She comes. She comes to him. And Jesus calls her over and frees her from what ails her. Woman, you are set free from your ailment. As he lays his hands on her, her back pain eases. She finds she can stand up straight, and like a weight coming off of her shoulders that has been there for so, so long. The relief that washes over her is such that it fills her with such joy that she cannot help but shout out and praise God. Praise God for what this has done. Now, when you see someone shout out with praise, it's infectious. It's exciting. If you see somebody say, "Hallelujah!" or "Yes!" it's pretty exciting. It's pretty thrilling. We're human creatures that know how to empathize with others, and when someone's feeling joy, we want to feel that too, and so that joy starts to leak into our hearts. We start to think, maybe I should be shouting out. And people are starting to, and this whole thing is getting massively out of order. This religious leader says, "No, no, no, no." Something has closed him off to receiving the joy of God. Is it expectation that the way that things should be? Is it a worry that his role in leadership is being challenged by Jesus now? Is it an embarrassment that he has perhaps known this woman for 18 years, been a leader in this synagogue for many of those years, and has never been able to do this? Whatever it is, he finds himself on the outside of joy. Missing out on the praise, missing out on the excitement, consumed instead by this indignation. Indignant, because this was not the way that things should go. And even when the entire crowd is rejoicing, this religious leader can find no shout of joy, no cry of praise. He is instead on the outside, looking in. How many of us find ourselves on the outside, looking in? Wondering where the joy is, how to feel it again. It's something that is difficult to come by at times. And unfortunately, very difficult to come by here in church. I mean, we just read a story about Jesus healing a woman who had been doubled over for 18 years, and she stood up straight like that. And it was quiet. Oh, I know you're all just being good Lutherans. I know. I know it's culturally improper, out of order, to start shouting out things or praising God in the midst of worship, but how did we get to this place? Where we have no shout of praise or cry of joy. Is it because this would be out of order? Because, well, Jesus did these things so long ago, it's not happening here today. couldn't happen here today, right? It's just too wild. It's inappropriate. It's not possible. And yet, I am here to say to you that Jesus is still at work and the Word of God is still active. And when Jesus saves somebody in Scripture, Jesus speaks that Word to you, then somebody can be set free. Amen. Craig's got it. I know we know how to praise God. I know we know how to celebrate. I know we know how to do it immediately because we do it so many other places in life. Now, I know that you know how to do this. You've all been a fan of some sports team sometime, haven't you? Maybe it's the Minnesota Vikings or the Golden Gophers or the Twins. For me, it's the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Or my TCU. I know. Don't worry, we've lost to Minnesota plenty of times. And yet, when they manage somehow, by some miracle of faith, to score a touchdown, I know how to say a little word of praise. How do you celebrate when you're seeing something happen that just overcomes you? Maybe it's like that, maybe it's a delicious bite of food. What do you say? Maybe it's me when I'm watching my Cornhuskers and they score and I go, oh, thank God. Maybe that's my praise. Or maybe it's, yes! How do you do it? What do you say? Yeah. Maybe you say, thank God. Maybe you say, yes. Maybe you say, yeah. You do a little fist pump. You do hands in the air. You do a cheer. You do a dance. You do something. The joy is so overwhelming that it just has to come out somehow. I want us to try this just for a moment, just to act like for a moment Jesus might have the power to save somebody today. How would you react? Now there's a word of praise. It's fun, isn't it? How do you feel when you do that? What does it feel like when you get overcome with joy? It's kind of bubbly. It brings a smile to your face. Sometimes a celebration is as easy as a smile. It's a little shiny. It's a little sparkly. It's this pride, this enjoyment. Maybe it's something that you've done that you're celebrating yourself. Maybe you have just done something incredibly difficult and you say, yes, I did it. Maybe you got the job that you had applied for. Maybe you passed the test that you had been studying for. Maybe you come to the end of another year of life and you're like, yeah, I want to throw a party for this. Maybe it's celebrating a marriage. Maybe it's celebrating something your children have done. This is one of the places where I find the most cause for celebration. And it's easy when you've got little kids. There's so many new things that they're doing just for the first time. Josephine, just this last week, did something amazing. She grabbed a spoon and she stuck it in her mouth and she ate the food off of it. I said, yeah, Josephine, yes! I knew how to celebrate that. I knew what to say. I knew how to cheer her on. And yet, when we come to church, for some reason, there's something about this idea of who we have, that we have in our minds of what a religious person is like, that our ability to celebrate just sort of gets left at the door. And we're overcome maybe with the weight of the world, with the pain of everything. Maybe we're just too anxious. Maybe we worry that this power is not at hand anymore. And yet, I think, dear people, that when we leave our joy at the door, we are missing out on an opportunity to see that Jesus is alive, that God is at work, and that somebody might just show up at church and be freed from what is bowing them down today. That someone might show up in this worship service, bowed down by the weights of the world, overcome with pressure, and find in this liturgy, in this music, in this word, in this meal, something that sets them free. Because that is why we gather together. Because this promise is real and it's true and we need it. We need it so, so bad. And yet, we've come to expect not gonna find it. And so people fall away. Fall away because instead of a place celebrating the joy and the liberation of Christ, they find a church of hypocrites. It's a hard word, hypocrites. Jesus uses it a lot, but it's still a hard word. It's a hard word because it means people that don't live up to what they say. When we gather around a God who frees, can we be free in that gathering? Free to rejoice, free to celebrate. Free to participate in the work that God is doing and to have eyes to see it done, have hearts to feel it. Jesus just might save somebody today. No, I'm not going to say just might. Jesus will. Because when God's word speaks, it does not come back empty. Jesus saved somebody today. Can you celebrate that? Jesus saved somebody today. Someone who was bowed down for 18 years. You know how long that is? 18 years ago, Facebook came out. We've had Facebook around for an eternity, it feels like. And people have been bowed down over the concerns of everything on social media ever since. Bowed down, and yet Jesus comes and releases them. Because Jesus sees this woman and sees what she is being weighed down and knows that we are not meant to be bowed down. We are not meant to be burdened. And that Jesus offers instead a yoke that is easy, a burden that is light. Come and rejoice in the Lord. Jesus, save somebody today. Let us work on our capacity to celebrate, to rejoice. Because in that little tiny practice of celebration, it's a spiritual practice, everyone. If we hone our spiritual practice of being able to celebrate what God is doing, we will find that we will be freed and empowered to do so, so much more. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the scriptures say. So let's not leave our strength at the door. Amen. desire.